Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'd like to see that as well.
Is that the Michael Irvin trophy?
Yeah, let's create it. Me and you.
Made out of part of the Bart tube?
Ah, that's a good idea. That's not bad.
Let's keep it going. Vicky is in San Jose. You're on 95.7 again.
Oh, my God. It's Vicky from the 408. How are you?
Hey, Vicky. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you believe it? I celebrated my 60th birthday party with 30 other friends. Some of them were Giants fans. Let's just say they aren't exactly 100% happy with it, but me, as an A's fan, with most of my other friends, were thrilled.
Vicky, they should be happy for you. If they're Giants fans and they're being all bummed out at your birthday party, they're not real friends. Get rid of them.
No. I love them dearly, and I accept the fact that sometimes it's frustrating when your team doesn't win. Believe me, I've been on that end many times.
Hey, Vicky, thanks for the call and happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Vicky.
By the way, I don't know, she said 30 friends. Do you know the A's have a deal? And it's not every game. Check with the tickets. This is the coolest thing I've ever heard for group sales. There are I think about 6 or 7 games left in the season. If you buy at least 15 tickets together, everybody gets a BP jersey.
What?
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Wait, no way.
You get an A's BP jersey. Everybody.
I don't buy it.
Well, you should buy it because it's a great deal.
BP, 15 BP jerseys.
Yeah.
They'll just give them to you.
Now, they're not going to be embroidered that say Olsen
okay,
on the
so
back.
Okay, so they're
blank. They might be a little bit thin.
And they're silk screened, I'm sure. So they're not real.
I think they are the real thing. They're just not labeled up with the names and numbers on the back.
Well, that's getting anything free is cool when you buy 15 tickets, so
yeah.
Sure.
No, that would be, I think that's awesome. And by the way, the A's have to be the only broadcast TV and radio on earth that has the COO come on the air.
Yeah, he was on for a long time too, wasn't he?
But I was like, why would they have the COO on the air? And that's because he's trying to explain.
Right.
The A's go to great pains to explain. We are making the Coliseum more palatable. It's more fun. You know, and then you have the president, Dave Cavill. And then I understand the GM coming on, and that's a force now. It's very rare to get a Billy interview these days. As vice president of player personnel. But there, I think what it is this trying to say, hey, come on out. We're on your side. Because remember, for a good 20 years plus, A's fans reached out and they got stiff armed.
Right.
They were pushed away. And now, as an A's fan, you don't even have to reach out. They're coming to try to hug you first.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. It's like there used to be a stretch, a long stretch, where you got nothing from up high in the A's organization directed towards the fans. It was almost like they were trying to repel fans, and a lot of fans felt that way. They felt repelled. Now the A's are just, it's almost like they're going overboard with whatever the message is. It doesn't really matter. It's just that they're messaging to the fans, and the fans, it's a smart move because the fans truly do feel more connected to the A's now. They finally feel like the A's value them, that hardcore group that's there all the time and banging drums, and there may only be 8,900 of them, but they all feel a hell of a lot better about their place as an Oakland A's fan now than they did 4 or 5 years ago because the messaging is constant now.
Mm-hmm. From our conversation, Herbs, we hit a couple of topics here on the PinScoutOfSales.com text line 95795. From the 408, I am a Stanford fan, and I hate going to those football games because nobody claps when their team does well. He says does good. Does well. That's just a bunch of old
Don't
people
edit
there.
His text. That's a little, come on,
it's grammar police. One guy says in the 510, I met my wife at Ruby Sky. Unfortunately, they closed about 2 years ago. That's kind of cool when you tell your kids, how did you meet? Well, she was freaking, and then I went over and I pretended to do the horsey ride behind her. But it was love.
I got a great story about how I met my wife.
Let's hear it.
At a bar. It was at the Fog and Grog on campus at USF. And I had seen her before, but never had the courage to talk to her. What do you know? After about 10, 12 beers, I've got a little bit of courage. I see her.
Drink responsibly, by the way.
I see her in the middle of the dance floor, and there's a ruckus of some sorts going on. Uh-oh. And I recognized her roommate, who I knew, but I didn't know her. And there's some guy getting in the roommate's face. And Kelly is...
The guy's yelling at the girl?
Yeah, they're like having at it. And, wow. And Kelly tries to intervene, and he turns and starts... As soon as I see him, like, starting to go down Kelly's road, that's when I moved. And I walked in. This is, you know, I'm a college athlete at this point. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm huge. I'm hammered. And I walk up, and I just step between this dude and Kelly, and I say, is there some sort of problem here? And he just slunk away. He just saw the size of me, and he got rid of it. And then I turned to Kelly, and I'm not kidding. I said, if you give me one date, you will marry me.
Wow.
And she's like, I have a boyfriend. And I said, so? She actually gave me the date.
Wow.
Because I was so bold. And I saved her life. That's how the story goes now. I saved her life.
And you ruined someone else's.
Mine.
That's a great story. Oh, my gosh. Why'd you have to throw that in? It was such a sweet story there for a second. I always heard the story that Tony La Russa, when he was a player, he walked into like a Denny's with some more teammates, and they saw a table of pretty girls, and he pointed and he said, do you see the one right there? I'm going to marry that one. And he did.
Nice.
That's his wife. Yeah, that's kind of a cool story.
Very cool story.
Let's go back to the text line.
Just that they were at Denny's makes it a cool story.
408, what about a John Fisher interview? Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I almost got one.
Really?
Spring training of 2010.
Spring training?
Spring training of 2020.
See, if you're going to correct the texters, I'm going to correct you.
I'm here for you. I was just trying to be the grammarian. Marion the grammarian. Spring training of 2010. I know a guy who went skiing with Fisher. And the guy's a friend of mine. And he said to Fisher, because he's also rich, I would never ski with him. And he said, do you want to come on? This was when I was on the old days flagship before I went bankrupt. I said, would you mind coming on Rick Tittle's show and talking A's? And he said, oh, and he's like, yeah, he's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. You know, A's fan. It'd be no big deal. He's like, yeah, okay. So he said, John Fisher says he'll do an interview with you. Do you want him? And I'm like, let me think. Yes. It would be like, you know, opening up Al Capone's vault and seeing King Tut. Yes, I would like that interview. And then the day before.
Was Fisher present at this time?
This wasn't in front of me. This happened on a ski slope when I wasn't there with two rich guys. And I knew one. And so he said the day before he said, you know what? John's been thinking. And he says, since Lou Wolf is really the face of ownership, he thinks Lou should do it. Do you want Lou? And I said, hell yeah.
Anybody can do it.
Hell yeah, I want Lou Wolf. And I remember when I did that interview afterwards, I heard that the A's had panicked because they said Lou has a tendency to be very conciliatory and say, you know, he's actually a very nice guy.
He is.
If you ever met him.
But he is super open.
But he likes to be really agreeable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go through proper channels. I didn't ask the A's for the interview, which would have been a complete no.
Exactly.
There was a certain time there because I was critical. Because people think I'm a homer. I'm not. No one holds the A's to a higher standard than I was. There was a time there about 8 years ago where they're like, yeah, we're not helping out Tittle. You know, it's like, why should we give him an interview? Because I was critical of what they were doing.
Right.
I was just telling the truth. But the Lou Wolf interview, I told him, I said, how can you say this is a small market? It's the fifth largest market in the world. And he said, well, what I mean by that is I think the Giants have taken all the sponsorship, and I think they haven't. But I said, the tarps are still up. And he's like, well, and, you know, he answered all the questions. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, Lou, my experience with him while I was covering the team is that anytime you needed Lou, the best time was spring training. You got him in spring training, you said, or was that
official? It was.
Because in spring training, he was always there. He liked being the face of the A's.
He flew down to sign Michael and Noah in the DR, remember?
He went down there?
He handed him the check.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was... I thought he was pretty
good. What a great guy.
In terms of being, if a guy's going to be designated as the face of ownership, then you better be somewhat accessible, because if you're the face of something and you're not accessible, what's the point?
Yeah. Otherwise, you're the pancreas.
Right.
All right. 888-957-9570. Joe in Oakland, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. If there was one word that I could describe cry about my Oakland Athletics right now is that I'm proud about them. I'm proud to be an Athletics fan.
You should be.
This has been a tremendous run for the A's. When you think about where we've come from even thinking as far back as for my generation, Eric Chavez, Tejada, McGuire for a while. I mean, the way that we're hitting, the way that we're doing things, the way that we're from top to bottom, from Dave Cavill opening up the top Mount Davis. I mean, even on 95.7, you know, there's been some people, you know, kind of disagreeing with the position. I won't name any names, but at the end of the day, it pretty much worked out. And everyone's doing their position. I mean, when you think about it, Marcus Semien, I didn't like the fact that he got picked off twice, you know, kind of. But at the end of the day, he's still doing his job as shortstop. You think about Chapman, he's coming off of injury. He hasn't really hit that well, but at the end of the day, he's got on base a few times. He's covering his field. Everybody on the team is doing their job. Piscotty, I can't say enough. Mark Hanna, if the Giants want to talk crap about Mark Hanna saying what he said, at the end of the day, name me a player on their team that's actually from the Bay Area.
Yeah, nobody on the Giants had a problem.
Brandon Crawford is from Foothill High School in Pleasanton. Thanks for the call, Joe. And I can just say, it's a bonus when you get Ricky and Stu and Braden and all that stuff, but I don't care if they're from Timbuktu. And by the way, in the tradition of the A's, when Joaquin Andujar said, I only have one word to say about baseball, which is you never know, the caller just said, I only have one word to say is, and he said, I'm happy about them, which is four words.
Or proud. He said proud.
You know, he said, I'm happy about him. Then he said, I'm proud. So actually six. But that's kind of cool. That's the tradition of Joaquin Andujar saying one word and then saying more than one word. But I appreciate the call.
You've also established a tradition of correcting the callers and the texters. Come on, man. Lighten up.
Lionel in Fremont. Help me lighten up. What's up, man?
What's going on? Ricky Tittle, Uncle Herb. What's happening?
What's up, Lionel? How you doing, man? Did you go to the game today?
I actually did just to get a Ricky, you know, get my Ricky thing. I left a little early, had, you know, some family function. I was at the family function looking at my phone, all the excitement. You know, I got a big family, so I'm obligated.
Lionel, talk to me. Before you get to what you wanted to talk about, tell me about the bobblegs. I have not seen it. Are you pleased with it? And are you pleased with it just because it's Ricky and you got one, or you're pleased with it because it's cool?
It's just because it's Ricky. I mean, that's why I chose this game to go to. I'm a big, like, you know, bobblehead fanatic, you know what I mean? So anything that says bobble, I'm going to collect it regardless. So I guess I would give it maybe a 7.5, you know what I mean, on its action figure bobblehead status. But, you know, but other than that, the big – and my main word for the A's, and I think it's for everybody in all baseball, is exciting. This team's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're a fan, you're not a fan, they always come back. They have a fight to come back. They could be down four. They, you know, a couple hits, a couple homers are back in it. They can, you know, win a 2-1 game. They can out slug you, you know, 10-6. I mean, that's an exciting team, and they are the new era of baseball. So they're basically clicking at the right time. Homers.
Well, then you better get a new era hat. Lionel, I gotta cut you off. We gotta go to a break.
Great word though, Lionel. Exciting. He's right. They are.
I gotta say, for the bobblegs, they get an A+ for innovation. Remember the Gallego windmill thing, except everything he did, if he sent a guy, he was out by a mile, and if he didn't send a guy, he would have been safe by a mile.
Right.
The A's get an A for innovation with the bobblegs.
Did you know the River Cats had a bobble nose for their broadcaster? Sorry, we got to bounce. We'll talk about it later.
What about the Ports with a 209 tattoo on Braden's stomach? That was a bobblehead.
That's more than I need.
All right. Coming up after the break, we will check in with Richard Justice as well from MLB.com. We'll keep the baseball conversation going right here. Herbs and Tittle 95.7 again.
Now, back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
Rick Tittle with Michael Urban, and this is your jam, huh?
Mac Miller, Party on Fifth Ave. This was the basically our opening tune back when Inside the Bigs was a thing, man. I'm excited. Cole Reese resurrected it.
What was it? I was trying to think about when we started doing Inside the Bigs over there. Was it 2011 or 2012?
2011.
I remember talking to your producer at the time. Didn't Derek produce it?
Derek
for a while?
Papa, Elena. It was me, Derek, and Elena.
Brian Burns
first started.
Did it a little bit.
Yeah, he was mixed in there. Worldwide West came in.
I remember who I forgot which one it was. Is like Herb's very particular about his music. You had like the songs. You had to have the exact songs, but they were all good songs.
Yeah, I mean, I was particular about my music in that I truly do believe that music can help brand a show. Like you, I think the audience recognizes, oh, that's that show or that's that show. If you're doing it the way right. we tried to do it with Inside the Bigs, it was just all high energy hip hop. I wasn't that particular. Just give me good songs.
Speaking of Inside the Bigs, there is something that survives from that show, and we're going to do that in about an hour's time. What's
that's
that
right.
called?
Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. And just to give you a little bit of a teaser, we yeah. will have some Tiger Woods.
All right.
We'll have some Lincoln Kennedy.
And my two favorite presidents.
Your what?
Oh, the tackle.
Your two favorite presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some good stuff. And as the show goes on, the reason I'm glad that you brought it up an hour beforehand, but if the audience would like to contribute, you could throw it on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line or call us and say, I want to throw this topic up for good for ball or bad for ball. We'll take that.
All right. Good stuff. On that same text line, 95795, from the 925, I don't know if you talked about it, but did anybody ask Melvin why he pulled Manaea, who was pitching great at 99 pitches?
We talked about it quite a bit here in studio, Rick and I did, while the game was still going. The reason he pulled him out is because, I don't know if you guys know this, but once a pitcher throws that 101st pitch, he's at risk for spontaneously combusting.
Oh, then his arm will fall off.
Yeah. And the A's know that, and that's why they pulled it. Oh, wait. No, that's not true at
all.
It's
so funny about that nice round number of three digits.
I hate it.
It's such a psychological thing. There's nothing physiological that says what your arm can do. I remember I got to do a live interview one time at a fundraiser for the Hall of Fame with Tom Seaver. And I asked him about pitch counts. And I kind of thought in his era, he'd be like, whatever. And he said, 93, I could start to feel it. 99, I would feel a little more.
Wow.
Right around 107. And then if I got to about 115, I realized, so I'm like, wow. So he was, even in his era, he was keeping a count in his head. But I remember also interviewing Vern Law, the old deacon. And he was like, think about Marichal versus Spawn, and each guy threw 400 innings in one game.
I tried to talk to Nolan Ryan about pitch counts, and he's like, no, I'm so against it. I can't even discuss it.
Yeah. Did he say, no, I'm not going to talk about that with you?
Well, Ray Fosse knew that Nolan Ryan was my hero and my favorite player ever, and I was eating in the hermetically sealed media dining lounge at the ballpark in Arlington, which is just a horrible ballpark.
They're tearing it down. You'll be happy.
Yeah, I am happy about that. Can't a moment too soon.
Everybody says it's great. You don't like it, huh?
It's awful.
Well, maybe for the press, it's awful.
That's all that matters to me.
Man, elitist.
But I'm sitting there eating, and I got my head down, and nobody's eating with me. And I hear Fosse's voice. He says, hey, can we eat with you? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I still hadn't looked up. I don't know what I was doing. I might have been checking my phone or something. But when I finally look up, it's Ray and Nolan Ryan sitting across from me. So I got to meet my hero, and he was super gracious and all that. But I did spend the rest of that dinner, I think, with my thumb in my mouth because I turned into a little baby in front of my hero. I had about four words to say. I was so intimidated.
There are some times when, like, if you're in a media setting, you can't ask for an autograph or talk to a guy or get a selfie because you're all working. But there are certain times when you run into a guy, and it is, it's like I told a story about when I saw Rick Barry, and I wanted to tell him I was named after him, and he basically pretended like I wasn't there. But there was a fundraiser thing I went to years ago in Vegas that Garth Brooks had. His fundraisers were for MLB and also NHL, the Touch 'Em All. It was an amazing
I remember that.
Amazing evening. But in the area where they were feeding us, at the table next to me was Yogi Berra and Don Larson. And Yogi Berra looked like he was about 5'2" and maybe 80 pounds. He looked so old and fragile. And I wanted so badly just to meet him, but I didn't want to. It just seemed like it would just be beyond, even just to say, hi, I'm a big fan. I couldn't even do that. You know, just leave him alone.
No, I hear you. Are you an autograph guy?
No.
Me neither. I mean, even as a kid, were you? I wasn't even as a kid. I'd rather meet the guy.
I think that if I had had a pen, I would ask for it. I can tell you my Al Davis autograph story if you'd like.
Sure.
No, I'll leave that for another show. That'd be bad radio if we did.
That would be. Okay. You can't bring that up and then not tell the
story. So when the A's, I'm like my dad now, I call everybody the wrong team. When the Raiders were in LA for 13 years, as you know, I stayed loyal as a fan. And once a year, they would always play the Niners at Candlestick in preseason because they knew it would be a sellout. Anything to sell tickets, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That was a sellout that Raider fans went to. So this was about 1986, 85 maybe. And after the game, and I was with my friend Steve, who was a Niner fan, and my little brother was a Raider fan. We're standing at the chain link fence where the parking lot was at Candlestick. And as guys are walking out, Howie Long walks out, Ronnie Lott walks out. We ask each of those guys for the autograph. Howie Long walks by like he doesn't hear us. Ronnie Lott turns and frowns at us. And Vance Mueller came over, the kid at
I thought you weren't into autographs.
This was at the time I was.
Okay.
All right. Just because we're standing there. And you know, we're fanboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
19, 20 years old, whatever. So Al Davis comes out and he's standing there talking to somebody and there's a limo with the door open and I know who he's talking to. And I just yell, cause there's like, you know, like 30 of us standing there and me and my friends. And I go, Mr. Davis, Mr. Davis. He turns around and he's like, yes. And I said, do you think I could get an autograph? And he goes, I tell you what. I'll be right back. All right? Can you wait a second?
That's a great Al Davis.
I go, pretty good. I'll be right back. Just wait there a second. Because it's half Southern and half New Jersey. You got to know, it's not I.
That is a damn good Al Davis.
The greatness of the Raiders has always been in the
city. Oh, my God. Why? You've held this under wraps for way too long.
I know. I'm letting it loose. So I said, okay, great. And then, so my brother's like, oh, my gosh, Al Davis is going to walk over here. So he continues the conversation with this guy for a few more minutes. He gets in a limo. The limo drives away, and I can see it on the curvature of the earth on the horizon as it drives away. It's not coming back. And I said, he lied?
Wow.
And then my brother goes, that's awesome. I go, what? I go, why is that awesome? He goes, because Al Davis personally lied to you. You should have that. That's a badge of honor. I go, I never thought about it that way. I guess that is kind of cool.
That is awesome. You need to bust that Al Davis out way more often.
Let's go to Kurt, who is in Oakland. You're on 95.7 again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple stories very similar to those with the Warriors where I'm at work and I saw...
The first story better be damn good because you ain't getting the second story off if it's not.
Fair enough. No, so... I've seen Steph Curry 3 times in person, and we've acknowledged each other. I've seen Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston as well, all in person. And you want to stop and just be like, oh, can I just chat with you for a little bit about whatever? But out of respect to them, they're not there to be kind of, you know, antagonized or really just bothered. So out of respect, we would just say, hey, what's up? Or I did Steph Curry's little sign after he does his 3-point shot, and he did it back to me. Mm. And that was that. So that was pretty awesome. I am jealous that I didn't get more than that, but hey, I'm happy. Some of my colleagues were able to get pictures with them, but I was happy with just being within their presence just to say at least hi to them.
Okay, you just barely made it. What's the second story?
Man.
That is all the stories, really.
All right.
Like, you know, you want to talk to them, you want to get all that stuff with them, but out of respect to them, you just don't want to nag them.
No, and that is cool that you got the little look. That is cool. Thanks for the call, Kurt. I appreciate it. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795.
So he and Steph are basically best friends right now.
Well, you know, it's funny. My cousin worked at Whole Foods in Danville.
I stole that from Cole, by the way.
Okay. My cousin worked at Whole Foods in Danville, and you think about everyone in Blackhawk that came through.
Sure.
And he'd always say, who was nice and who wasn't. Now it's hard to discern someone's, temperament
right.
and personality through a transaction at a supermarket. But every once in a while, if they got into a conversation, he'd say, Rick Tittle's my cousin. And he said, they'd either go, or they'd go, oh, tell Rick I said hi. So then he would report the ones that would say, oh yeah, I like him, or the ones who just went,
who did that? Who went,
I'll tell you later. We are very excited once again to be joined by Richard Justice, MLB.com. And Richard, a lot of A's fans were very worried that top prospects were going to go in the 9-week rental for Yulius Familia, and it's already paid dividends with a win today in extra innings over the Giants. Looked pretty good. We saw the prospects were number 17 and another guy not even in the top 30 and some international bonus money. Was this a case of the A's playing hardball to not give up their prospects, or do you think the Mets are like, hey, just get out of here?
I think it's impossible to evaluate where prospects are. You don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about them. And those prospect lists are a wild guess. So they got a couple of guys. They got out from under some money, and they got some international signing bonus pool. So that, I mean, that's the way they had marketed. They had listened on the guy for a long enough time that they felt like they had a handle on what his value was. So, I mean, to me, the way to look at it is the A's now have a tremendous bullpen. They have three shutdown guys at the end of games there. And while they'd still like another closer, I mean, they got a lot better as a team. And as someone who's seen a lot of them lately, they are a really strong club. They were transformed the moment that Olsen and Chapman started occupying both those spots. So we'll see. Do they have enough pitching? Who knows? They're better than Seattle right now for sure.
Hey, Richard, are you based in Houston or New York right now?
I'm in New York. I mean, where am I? I live in Houston. I've lived in Houston for 18 years.
Okay, and so you're sharing space with the world champions, the reigning world champions. You're a national guy. Are the A's still kind of just this, I don't know, just this cute little story like, oh, yeah, the A's are doing what the A's do. They win some games, and then they lose in the playoffs. No big deal. Or are they starting to get more respect nationally? Because this is a team to contend with. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to be there at the end of the season, but I still get the sense that nationally, they don't really know the A's are that good.
You mean you're playing that we don't get any respect card?
No, not necessarily, just we don't get any attention card.
Well, I don't know. They're 14 over, and when you look at the people that play them know what they are. They know what Olsen and Chapman and Lowry. They know what all those guys are. People that have played them lately know how good Trinan and Lou Trevino are at the end of games. I mean, Billy Beane is one of the revered figures in ball. So, you know, look, if you get into that, who respects who, you know, it's the Yankees, it's the Red Sox, and it's everybody else. It's the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Astros. The Astros are coming off a world championship season. I wouldn't say many of their guys are household names. So you never know. You just play. Look, if they end up playing in the World Series, everybody will know what a good player Jed Lowry is.
When you look at the Machado trade, I know a lot of people say, well, then that's it. He's going to, the Dodgers are going to be pulling away from a pack that has everybody in the West outside of the Padres involved. Is that, you think, a true statement, or maybe just a little too simplistic this early?
Well, they still need relief help, and they're going to go get an arm or two. You know, I mean, there's really a horse race for Zach Britton. The Cubs are aggressive. The Astros are being aggressive. The Dodgers want him as well. You know, I thought he might be included in this deal. The Dodgers were already the best team in the National League. I mean, it's right now there are six teams that you would look at, and you know they're going to October. Four of the American League teams, the three division leaders, plus the Yankees, and then the Dodgers and Cubs. And it's kind of a race for the other four spots. And so what you're seeing is teams making moves. And their general manager is pretty open about this. Like, if Cleveland makes a move, it's to match up with the Yankees. Postseason games or bullpen games, that's what the A's worked on. That's what the Indians have worked on. And so, you know, you get to play and find out. But look, the Astros won 101 games last year. And to win the World Series, they had to win a game. If Alex Bregman doesn't homer off Chris Sale in Game 4, they're headed back to a deciding Game 5 in Houston in the Division Series. They had to win two elimination games at home against the Yankees to go to the World Series. And then they're about to go down 0-2 in the World Series, and Marwin Gonzalez hits a ball, an 0-2 pitch over the center field wall off the best closer in baseball. Then they win two of the craziest World Series games ever played, 2-5. So you never know. I mean, basically these eight teams that are going to end up in the Division Series, they're almost all the same team. And it's going to be decided by a razor thin, you know, who's playing well, who's healthy, all of that stuff.
Richard, the Astros are not only loaded, but now their young core is a year more experience. Obviously, that's going to help. As the trade deadline approaches, obviously they're not going to be sellers, but are they looking to make any moves, or are they one of those rare teams that has the luxury of saying, you know what, we're plenty good right now?
No, they're casting a wide net. Zach Britton is their first choice. They would like to have the ninth inning ironed down. I mean, no manager has ever done a better job than A.J. Hinch did last year and basically went in a World Series with a bullpen he did not trust. You know, he piggybacked his starters. You know, Verlander was phenomenal and all of that. But they feel like they would like to have somebody to pitch the ninth, and you can play the mix-and-match game in the sixth inning or whatever. With their the quality of their rotation, they feel like they're going to get to the sixth inning, maybe the seventh with Verlander. So they want to do more. And I don't think they're completely happy with their – they're not completely certain about DH/first base. They've talked to the White Sox about Jose Abreu. Their catcher, Brian McCann, is injured and out indefinitely with knee surgery. They've talked to the Marlins about JT Realmuto. The question becomes, the bidding on Britton is probably going to get nuts. And how long do you stay at that poker table? Because the Cubs are serious. The Dodgers are serious. Others are serious, too.
When you look at Chris Archer in Tampa Bay, and I guess he has another couple starts before the non-waiver trade deadline goes out, and he had the abdominal strain, but still under 30 and been pretty durable. And if you throw in some club options under team control till 2021, now Tampa Bay is a game over, but still 9.5 out of that second wild card, and of course it's pretty hopeless in their division. Do you see them moving Archer, or because he does have control, holding on to him and try and rebuild around him?
Well, this, you know, they are inflexible in what they want. They have a value assigned to the guy. You're talking about a 30-year-old guy. I think he's had 13 strikeouts today in front of every contending team had a scout today to watch him pitch. And he's got 3 years, $27 million. So it's going to be a high price. But the two intriguing guys, you know, it's a starved starting pitching market. The two guys to keep an eye on, Jacob DeGrom, the Mets, and they're going to have to be overwhelmed. And then the Rays, who just said, okay, if we get this for him, we will trade him. I just sense that the Yankees are so the Yankees have such a deep farm system, and they are so desperate for starting pitching. I mean, desperate for starting pitching. You know, they're right now. They've lost ground now. What are they, 4.5 out? That they will meet that price. But you know, keep an eye on Archer and DeGrom. Sort of everything will flow from there.
Hey, Richard, what do you think of the Mariners? I've been thinking as the season's gone on, like, okay, they're going to start to fall back sooner or later. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it hasn't seemed to. Are they for real?
I think they're for real. They have things they want to do. You know, they have a very aggressive general manager in Jerry DePoto. And, you know, given the way King Felix pitched last night, they would like one more starting pitcher. They would like a bullpen arm, even though they've already got out and got one. The thing is complicated. Like, they need another bat, but Cano comes back August 14th, and yet he won't be able to play in the postseason. They don't know where Robbie's – well, they may know, but they're not telling us where he's going to play when he comes back. Do you move D. Gordon back to center? They have a lot of moving parts, but, yes, they're a good team. They're a really good team. I think Oakland's better right now, but it comes in waves. That division is good because, you know, I think Anaheim is back to .500 or something. They beat the Astros today. So you have four competitive teams, and you would say, logically, either the – because the runner-up in the AL East is going to make the playoffs, and then it would seem the runner-up in the AL West is going to make the playoffs. And that means the Mariners and the A's are fighting for one spot. Logically, that's what you would think it plays out.
A couple more questions for Richard Justice from MLB.com. The whole new term of MVR, not most valuable reliever, mound visits remaining. I almost feel like the attention we put – on that is actually more time-consuming than before. It's almost the antithesis of what it was going to accomplish. I haven't seen any of the mound visit remaining come up as an issue this whole season yet.
No, they've cut it down. So the number of mound visits, it has been about cut in half. But this all gets back to pace of game. The commissioner wanted to implement which he had the right to do because via the labor agreement, he wanted to initiate a pitch clock. But the relations between the players and the owners over the winter were so toxic, you can't just force it down their throat. And that was a byproduct of the free agent market being so tough on them. So, you know, players and owners are going to have to sit down and say, okay, look, we have a problem here. Pace of game is a problem. It's not length of game, it's pace of game. There's too much standing around. And what are we going to do about it? And, you know, the commissioner said this week, people that say part of our problem is shifts and we should ban shifts, the players have made a decision, we're going to hit the ball in the air. We're not going to hit the ball to left field on a shift. So that remains to be seen how you work through that. One solution would be play in 107-degree temperature. The Indians and the Rangers today played a 2-hour and 33-minute game. Just turn the temperature up to 107, and boy, the pace of game really picks up.
You're talking about Bikram baseball?
That's what it was. That's a good one. Bikram baseball. That's right. And that's what it looked like, too.
You can use that on MLB.com.
I will. I'll use that. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Richard Justice has been with us. Remember to read him at MLB.com and follow him at Richard Justice. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
And Herbs, I saw you make a kind of a face when he told me that I don't know the A's prospects.
Yeah, he basically suggested you didn't know the A's prospects, and then he accused me of playing the we don't get enough respect card. So I was like, in a span of 2 minutes, you kind of went down both of our roads.
Well, you know what? It's funny is that, of course, in the grand scheme of things, it is a bit of a lottery when you have prospects, but there is a perceived value. It's like draft picks. You don't draft a guy in the first round who you can get in the seventh round. Do we know who's going to the Hall of Fame? No. But the perceived value of where that is. And so when you have Jesus Luzardo and you say, yeah, and no one knows how good these
are. And how many years, Luzardo, how many years has he been a pro?
He's been a pro 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think after two years, you know a little bit about that prospect.
I think it's kind of funny, too. Somebody last night on the text line said, I'd watch out for Trevino. He's having a career year. He's a rookie. How can you have a career year when you're a rookie? Another guy here on the text line, where is it? He said, I'm surprised that year after year that Ace fans are content with mediocrity. Show me one Ace fan who's content with mediocrity.
Right. What does that mean?
I can't think of one.
I don't understand.
Do you mean because we go to the games when they stink? That doesn't mean we're content.
And if they go through a stretch where the team is mediocre, is he just taking it that, oh, the fans must be okay with that?
All right. And Herbs, I know you want to get into a little round ball today, too.
A little bit. There was so much chaos in the NBA. A bunch of different things happening. You hardly had any time to react. Now we've had a few days of calm and the dust has settled.
All right. Let's do a little round ball on the other side. And of course, we'll get back into baseball. Alex Pavlovich will join us at 7:30, talk a little Giants, and then we'll get into good for ball, bad for ball. So much ahead of us here. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban. Come on back. 95.7 The Game.
This is the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban on a Sunday evening with you till 8 o'clock. Great to have you with us. Alex Pavlovich at 7:30. Lines are open at 888-957-9570 and the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 95795. We're going to talk a little hoop, but I got one more call here. I want to get him in.
Before we go there, Cole is a thinker. Cole is our engineer, executive button pusher, whatever you want to call it. And he provides the music. He's the one who cues the music we come back with. Cole's a thinker, and that song that he just played, I don't know if the title is this, but like the hook is You Lied to Me.
No, Return of the Mac.
But part of the lyrics are You Lied to Me. So Return of the Mac or You Lied to Me. I thought kind of you were getting clever there. Any particular reason for that choice?
You got to go pretty deep into the song to get to that part, though.
Well, I go deep on everything, man. I'm a deep thinker. Return of the Mac. Just that you know that, that makes me happy.
Mark Morrison, right?
I have no idea.
I remember when that song came out. I spent a lot of time in England covering soccer, and that song came out, was a big hit, and then people had a problem that Mark Morrison had been in jail, and they kept talking about his previous crimes.
So T.I. probably not popular out there, or Meek Mill, or... Who else? Who else we got?
You know, it's funny.
Been in jail and
when I was
went
in,
on to make music.
When I was in Philly in December for the Army-Navy game, there were free Meek Mill signs everywhere in Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
And once he got out of jail, didn't they have him? They had him do something like, what was it? Philadelphia 76ers were still playing, right, Cole? Yeah. He's like a hero.
Do you remember for years and years we always heard free Nelson Mandela?
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Murphy goes, man, let the Italians worry about their own people. That was his little line. Of course, he got out in prison. Eddie Murphy. Let's go to the lunatic who is in Lafayette. What's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up?
Look, I love Melvin. He'll probably win another manager of the year. But for Pete's sake, leave Madai in at least Pete's at least seven innings. The guy handcuffed that whole lineup today. One run on three hits when he was out there. Come on, if you're going to build the ace of the staff, which he is, then you got to build him up like the ace. Let him work out of a jam. Even if he gives up that home run to Slater, he's still up 4-3. He pulled him too early.
It's not about giving up runs. It's that pitchers spontaneously combust when they throw more than 100 pitches, and Bob Melvin knows that.
Hey, 98 pitches, though, but I hate the pitch count.
All right, I got you. Hey, we agree. Rick and I were talking about it before the game was even over. What the heck was he doing taking Manaea out? You're right. If he is the stud of your staff, let him be a stud. Let him show everybody else in the rotation. Look, you guys need me right now. The bullpen's been heavily used in these first two games after the break. Just throw a bunch of weight on my back, and I'll take you into the eighth inning. I have no doubt that if you'd left Manaea in to get that final out of the seventh, I would have sent him back out for the eighth and gone batter to batter there.
And I just, at the time, I wrote a little note that the Giants are now happy. But the thing is, if Pagan comes in and gets Slater, no one's talking about it, and Melvin looks like a genius. I said, this is why you're a manager. You're going to get criticized one way or the other. And any kind of double entendre on the day that Pagan gives up the hit and comes out and the run eventually scores, that Ryan Healy hit 2 3-run homers today. Do you care about that?
No, I was, I think, the only guy.
That was like a Bochy right there.
We know Ryan Healy, he can swing the bat. We know it. No, I was like, maybe the only, everybody seemed okay with trading Ryan Healy. It's like, that's fine.
We're
set at first base and you know, we don't have a position for him, but I'm like, this dude's going to be a really good player in the big leagues. You need to either get more or hang on
that's
to him
what
and
I
find
thought.
A spot for
that's
him.
That's what I thought. Get more. Yeah. That's what I wanted. All right. Herbs, by the way, Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you here, 95.7 The Game. You said, now that we've seen a lot of these big names move in the National Basketball Association, you've come to somewhat of a synopsis now as we look ahead to next season.
Well, yeah, like I said, there's for a minute, there was a whole bunch of things going on at once. And so while we're speculating about what move this team might make, oh, they made it, and it's totally different than what we're speculating about. I mean, for instance, just Paul George re-signing with Oklahoma City. Nobody saw that coming.
Right.
I think we all saw LeBron signing with the Lakers coming. But then the Lakers continued throughout that week or a two-week stretch to add to this cast of characters, which is now Luke Walton. Good luck to you, man, because you've got a bunch of loose screws. I mean, I think they got Michael Beasley now. So they have Lance Stevenson, who's a little bit of a zoo. I think just the Lakers are going to be really fun to watch. And now that the dust has settled, we were asking each other last week, has anybody in the Western Conference got so much better to the point where you think they now might threaten the Warriors? Look, I don't think anybody in the West is going to threaten the Warriors. It depends on what you think of threaten. But out of respect for LeBron, now that the dust has settled and I'm thinking about everything a little bit more rationally, I think the Lakers are the one team that improved enough to push the Warriors a little bit. Not threaten them, but if they get in a series, again, out of respect for LeBron, I think the surrounding cast now in Los Angeles is better than what he had in Cleveland. So if they end up facing the Lakers in the playoffs, I give them a chance at winning one or two games.
Well, you don't think the Lakers are a bigger threat as Houston, do you?
Oh, I absolutely think they're a bigger threat than
really?
Houston. Houston got way worse.
If Chris Paul's defense got way worse. They lost Ariza, but if Chris Paul's healthy.
We're not talking about that Rockets team. It's a different Rockets
team.
How is
it different outside
of Ariza?
They don't
have Luke Mbamute. He's a key defensive player.
But he didn't do much in the series against the Warriors, though.
He's a good defensive player, Rick, and defense was, for me, the reason the Rockets were such a good team is because they finally started playing defense with some commitment. They can fill it up, and they did something I didn't think they'd be able to do, figure out how to appease both James Harden and Chris Paul. I thought these guys are too ball dominant to play together. Well, they played together a little bit, but the key to their success was that they staggered those two guys' playing time quite a bit. They weren't always on the floor together. In fact, I don't know that this is true, but if I heard they were not on the floor together more than they were, I'd be all right. That makes sense to me. But they did not get better. I don't think Carmelo Anthony makes them any better. People say that's the rumor that Anthony's going there. I think the Rockets got worse. Young Hot Nick, our producer, he thinks the Oklahoma City Thunder got better. I don't know if that's addition by subtraction. Nick, are you available to give us a little time on air? What is it about the Oklahoma City Thunder that makes you think that they're better than they were last year?
You keyed it. I mean, the money they're getting off of their books from moving on from Carmelo Anthony.
It's like 100 mil, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of money here. And Dennis Schroeder from the Atlanta Hawks is a tough player. Whether they play him at the point and push Rush to the two, or whether they bring him off the bench, he's going to be an addition.
And anybody who has an umlaut in their name.
Well, that's why that's what it kills me, and then people pronounce his name wrong. People say Schroeder.
What is it?
It's Schroeder.
Is it really?
There's an umlaut there.
Okay. Rick would know.
Yeah.
But you're right. Rick would know.
But it's just that's what everybody calls him in the league. But it's funny, the thing about Schroeder is that we talk about how he was...
What is your address there?
Yeah, he was an absolute malcontent, and he wouldn't play any defense, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. And it's funny, because whenever we saw him, even though he had weird hair, he always seemed to be like a good player. And then hearing, like, they couldn't wait to run him out of town.
Yeah. No, I think he is a good addition for them, and I do think it's addition by subtraction, getting rid of Carmelo Anthony. But I love the fact that you're so sick of what is your address there that you don't even acknowledge it anymore.
I knew it was coming. It's like I'm having the best time. Or that you would... By the way, why is he Young Hot Nick?
Because my daughter saw a picture of him, and my oldest said, ooh, he's hot.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm sure
he doesn't like it.
I'm sure he's not embarrassed at all when you say that. We've seen mostly dominated Warriors news is that, of course, DeMarcus Cousins has had his say.
What did you think of the press conference?
Well, I thought the press conference was fine. I think we mostly got that thing. What was it from Showtime? The video of him saying with swear words,
yeah.
how his decision went down and everything. I thought it was very interesting. But this is the thing I'll say about it. I don't want to hear it anymore. You know what I mean? I don't want his.
What don't you want to hear anymore?
I don't want to hear about how he made the decision. It's over. I don't like drama.
No, you know, I agree.
It's like, oh, no one wanted me, and then this was my trump card. This was my nuclear bomb. Cool. Now we know. Now just play hoop.
That's why I loved Matt Steinmetz one-on-one with him. And if you missed that, you got to check it out at 957thegame.com. He got about 8-10 minutes one-on-one with DeMarcus, and there was no talk about the decision, and you didn't get these offers. It was all about moving forward. I thought Steinmetz nailed it. I thought DeMarcus was as good as he could possibly be. Same way in the press conference. I love that he wasn't like overboard, bubbly, happy guy and being fake. We know DeMarcus, that's not him. DeMarcus is a guy who, I don't know, he's got resting bitch face, for lack of a better phrase. He always looks like he's upset about something. Not that he is always upset, but he's not a cuddly, you know, ever optimistic type of guy. And he didn't try to play that role in the press conference. He was DeMarcus Cousins, and I like that about it. He was real.
By the way, while you were talking, I got a call from the FCC when you said the B word, and they said all we have to say about your station is...
That's not one of the seven.
Try
ones.
Swearing more. You know who was the bubbliest?
You get upset when I go
conference.
Blue, when I work blue.
That's not really blue.
And why'd you bring it up?
You know what? I'll tell you a little story. My friend Steve, who was a big Niner fan in college, he wore a shirt to my house that said F Dallas with a star in the middle. You know, it was
right.
A shirt they sold. And he walked in and my dad goes, I thought you had more class than that. And my friend said, wow, because he didn't respect me, but he respected my dad.
Right.
And he goes, I feel terrible now.
So dad said that about the...
Yeah, because my dad, like, he respected my dad, and I thought you had more class than that.
Do you think it's no class when you wear an
I'm
F?
Just kidding.
No. Like, when you're wearing a shirt that says F, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's clear.
That's like having a tattoo on your neck. You know, it's just like, yeah, let me make sure I hire you to be my CEO. Hiroyuki Nakajima, the Japanese shortstop, 2 years, $6 million, the bubbliest press conference in the history of the world. I want to learn how to Bernie Lean. Billy Bean.
Billy Bean is
sexy. We were over the moon, and all I could think of was no more Cliff Pennington. Yay. No more guy. He can't even throw the ball to first base, and they brag about his defense. He was terrible. And then you see these things, WBC bat flips. Do you know that he never played one day in the bigs?
Never?
Not one day.
And you're right. I mean, that press conference, everyone was talking about
it. I loved it. It was great. And by the way, Nakajima got sent down to AA. And why didn't he go back to Japan? Because he was getting $3 million a year. I saw him
in spring training at Muni. This was the last year at Muni. And he had, his number was like 87. And I look in the program and it says, you know, Dick Hurts, 39th round pick out of Texas A&M. And I go, that's Nakajima. They had like two number 87s. He couldn't even get his own number in camp, and he got sent down to Double A. This guy was a guy with billboards in Japan.
The FCC just called back, and they're a little concerned about your Dick Hurts line.
No, they actually said you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.